This is 6 Minute English from bbclearningenglish.com.
Hello, welcome to 6 Minute English. I'm Callum and with me today is Neil. Hello, Neil.
Hi there, Callum.
In today's programme, we're going to be talking about the word omnishambles. Every year, a committee at the Oxford English Dictionary comes up with a list of new words that have made a big impact on the English language.
Now, they aren't necessarily words that will make their way into dictionaries anytime soon, but they are words that have been influenced by popular culture, sport, politics, and other current affairs.
This year, at the top of their list, was the word omnishambles. Before we learn more about it, here's a question for you, Neil, about dictionaries. From the following, who published the earliest English alphabetical dictionary? Was it Robert Cawdrey, Samuel Johnson, or Noah Webster?
Well, I think this is a trick question. I think you want me to say Samuel Johnson. I don't think it's Webster because he was American. I'm going to go for Robert Cawdrey.
OK, we'll find out if you're right at the end of the programme. Fiona McPherson is one of the judges who decides on the word of the year. And she describes why new words make it onto the list. What are her main criteria?
First and foremost, it's about the evidence. So as long as people are using it and we can find independent examples. By independent, I mean not just used by one person. You'll see it in various newspapers, perhaps novels, that kind of thing. But it's also the projected longevity, really. Some words are flash in the pan, but you can normally gauge by using your own judgment whether or not something is going to have a life.
Neil, what's most important?
She says that first and foremost, it's if the word is being used by more than one person, if it's being used in a variety of media.
Is that the only consideration?
No, she says it's also about the projected longevity of the word, which is an estimation of how long the word will be used for. Some words, she says, are a flash in the pan, which means they are popular for a very short time, but then disappear.
In an example of life imitating art, the word omnishambles first appeared in a BBC television political comedy in 2009. Can you tell us a bit about what it means?
Sure. The prefix omni, which means everywhere or everything, has been added to the noun shambles. Shambles is a noun for something that is very poorly organised and planned. A complete mess. And omnishambles is this new word which emphasises just how really bad something has been messed up. Something that is an omnishambles is a complete and total disaster. It usually refers to a series of mistakes and blunders by politicians.
And it's a word that's become particularly popular for those who want to criticise the government. Let's listen to an example. This is Ed Miliband, an opponent of the British Prime Minister, speaking in Parliament.
Over the last month, we've seen the charity tax shambles, the churches tax shambles, the caravan tax shambles, and the pasty tax shambles. So, Mr. Speaker, we're all keen to hear the Prime Minister's view as to why he thinks 4 weeks on from the budget, even people within Downing Street are calling it an omni-shambles budget.
Ed Miliband describing lots of different shambles and then describing them all as omnishambles.
Yes, an omnishambles is a collection of shambles.
So why has the word caught on? Here's writer Tony Roach, who coined the expression in the political satire The Thick of It.
It seems to have lent itself to being mutated. I think it might have been Vanity Fair used the word Romney shambles to describe various gaffes that Mitt Romney was making, and it's been used in a few other contexts.
What reason does he give for the popularity of the word?
He says that it can easily be adapted and changed for different circumstances. He mentions the fact that the magazine Vanity Fair used a variation of it, Romney shambles, to refer to US presidential candidate Mitt Romney, making gaffes.
Gaffes?
Yes, gaffes, a word for embarrassing mistakes.
Let's listen to Tony Roach again.
It seems to have lent itself to being mutated. I think it might have been Vanity Fair used the word Romney shambles to describe various gaffes that Mitt Romney was making, and it's been used in a few other contexts.
Will this word have legs? Will it live longer than the current political period? Here's Fiona McPherson again. What does she think?
What it has in its favour is it's already had some derivatives coming from it, like Romney shambles. We've heard when we were talking about Mitt Romney's gaffes about how he thought London wasn't ready to host a good Olympics. Things like that are good indicators that maybe this world will have staying power, but really time is the only thing that will tell.
What does she think, Neil?
She makes a similar point to Tony Roach, that the word already has derivatives or different variations. She mentions the same example of Romney shambles. It's this ability to adapt and evolve which she thinks might give it staying power, might give it the ability to become a more permanent feature in the English language. But ultimately, time will tell. We'll just have to wait and see.
That's the beauty of language, always evolving. Now, before we run out of time and this programme becomes an omni-shambles, let's get the answer to this week's question. Who published the earliest English alphabetical dictionary? Neil, you said?
Robert Cawdrey.
And Robert Cawdrey was the correct answer, and that was in 1604. Well, that's all from this edition of 6 Minute English. Until next time, thank you, Neil, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
That was 6 Minute English from bbclearningenglish.com.